This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
That is the sound of snoring. And that is the sound of sleep apnea. Every night, millions of people stop breathing for more than 10 seconds for 10, 20, 30, even 80 times per hour while they sleep. And that's dangerous. If you're a sleep apnea sufferer and you don't use or even like your CPAP machine, then you're possibly putting your life at risk. My name's Dr. Kevin Mossman, and not only am I a board-certified sleep dentist, but I'm also a sleep apnea sufferer myself. At our office, I can help you with a custom-made mouth device that takes the place of your dreaded CPAP machine. I love mine because it's comfortable and super easy to use. It costs you nothing to learn more about this life-saving mouth device. So call me today for a free consultation at 732-655-6585. Again, 732-655-6585. Or visit us online at sleepdentistnj.com. Again, that's sleepdentistnj.com.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Hello, hello, this is Frank Sasso coming to you live. I always say live, I don't know why I say that. It's not live.
You are alive.
We're recording it live, that's what it is.
We're all alive.
With the first episode of Trenton Waves.
Yay.
TrentonWaves.com, visit us online, check it out, what's going on. Subscribe to the podcast, this is very important, so you can be in the know. We are sitting here with our brand new mayor. Mayor Reed Gussiora.
Yeah.
Welcome, Mr. Mayor.
Welcome.
Welcome to City Hall.
Thank you very much.
This is a very cool, I mean, I've been here before, but it feels different now.
Well, it's a really historic building, and around us we have the Mary Roebling map collection. This hung in her office, and it is on loan to us. So when people come in, they could see old maps of Trenton and old historic photographs.
Fascinating imagery.
Yes.
It really is.
I love that photograph over there. It looks like the Wild West.
Yes, yes.
That's Trenton?
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe that's South Broad Street.
We were wondering where that was. That's really neat.
Those telephone poles are out of control.
Yeah, I don't like the telephone poles. I'm holding my hand. Oh, my God.
Well, that's how they put up electrical lines before. Kind of look like centipedes.
Yeah, really? Those aren't phone lines?
They could be, yeah. I guess everybody who had a phone had a different line, had a single line.
If you want to check out these pictures, you can go online, TrentonWaves.com, click on guests, you'll see Mayor Reed right there, and click on his picture, you see some of the pictures in the conference room in City Hall here.
So I want to dive right in, and my first question is, how did you come to Trenton? What was your journey that led you to Trenton?
Well, my father worked for the Department of Health, and he was an entomologist, and when I was a little kid, we used to come in to meet him for lunch when Trenton was very walkable. I remember going to the Arthur Treacher's. That was my favorite.
Oh, I remember that.
That was my favorite stop. And then class trips to the old barracks, the State Museum. Mm-hmm. When I went to law school at Seton Hall, I became a legal intern at the State Assembly. So I've always had an affinity for the capital city. It's a great city. My father had personal friends that lived in Glen Afton, so I spent many times in Glen Afton. And it's just such a beautiful city that you can't help but fall in love with the architecture, the parks. Cadwallader Park is the last park designed by Olmsted, who designed Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
The state buildings, and just coming downtown was an exciting venture for a little kid.
Yeah, when we moved here, I fell in love with it too.
Yeah.
I really did. I love the history. I love historic stuff. So when we were looking for a home, I just fell in love with it. The people, everything, really. Now that you're mayor, is it everything you expected?
Well, it's definitely a load.
Really?
Yeah. The things that I didn't expect were things that were just left to be uncovered. Every city relies on community block grants that are given by U.S. HUD, and our HUD grants were frozen since 2015. We had a little counting things that we had to take care of, and we've got to apply for transportation trust funding. We all pay 23 cents more a gallon in gas, and the whole program was to give back from the state. Each community would get money back in the form of grants for infrastructure improvements. City of Camden got $24 million. by example, and the city of Trenton last year got none.
Wow.
Because we didn't apply for the Transportation Trust funding. BPU, we were facing fines of $3 million. And it was just really putting back to the city, bringing competent people in. So as we're straightening out all the old problems, the fun start now when we could start working on revitalization projects, helping downtown get that Starbucks effect. We have two restaurants coming in.
Really?
Santimo's was sold. Maxine's was sold. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of really good positive energy that's coming into the town, and we want to make sure that we foster it in the right way.
Well, I agree with you. I feel like there is something afoot. We've been here since 2003 and always felt like you're chugging along. You see some stuff and then maybe not. I feel like we're kind of like got some momentum now.
We're very successful in doing these community-wide cleanups every Saturday. Mm-hmm. Since July, we've been having cleanups under Neighborhood Improvement Association. They've been here longstanding, but they've never received the real support from the city. I've gone out and helped the cleanups, and we're able to market properties now because we're getting them into better shape. Mm-hmm. We're starting to fill the potholes, and we're starting to take care of the parks. And then we're going to have some really neat stuff. February 5th, we're going to have a Chinese New Year's in South Warren Street. We're going to block off the street.
That's tomorrow.
We're going to hang lanterns. We're going to have a children's dragon parade. And the restaurants have all agreed to serve Asian food that day.
Okay.
So they're changing. Ooh, that's going to be very interesting.
So come on out after 4 o'clock, and we're going to have a night market. So we have a bunch of vendors that have signed up, and it's just going to be one more way to market the city and try to bring people back into the city, like when I did when I was a little kid.
Where are you getting your ideas from?
A lot of people like to brainstorm, and they have suggestions. The Asian community, the last census was less than 1%. Nonetheless, if you look at Mercer County, Princeton, West Windsor, Plainsboro, they all have large Asian and Chinese communities. We could be the go-to place for Chinese New Year's from now on, and it's a great gathering place. You know, if you go in New York to Chinatown, it's a great place to celebrate. Mm-hmm. This year is the year of the pig, and that represents wealth and vitality. So
how appropriate.
We want to celebrate that for the capital city.
Oh my goodness, well, we'll be there.
We will definitely be there.
We're working on making artworks with Art All Night. We're going to be bigger than and better than ever. We realize we have to make some security adjustments, but we've gotten great cooperation even from the state police that want to help out. And we think it's going to be bigger and safer than ever, but we didn't want to cut back the hours. Great. We didn't even want to cut back the beer tent. The show is going to go on. Amen. We just did a fire walk for Patriots Week.
I know, I have that in my notes here. I really enjoyed that. I was so excited. He was freezing. Yeah, and he had no hat on. He was shaking. Yeah. I'm like, I'm staying. I'm sorry, I'm staying until the fire.
I'm visibly shaking.
He's like, I'm like, have some hot chocolate, but we're staying.
We had bourbon under the table.
Well, now you tell
me. We're not supposed to know that.
Appreciate that.
But that was, they do that in Providence, Rhode Island, and it's called the Water Fire, where they put fires in the actual river, and it's a way of attracting people. And this is our first year. Mm-hmm. Next year, when we double the size of Mill Hill Park, if you see alongside DCA, we're uncovering more of the Assapink.
Yes.
We're going to have more bonfires going up, we'll have more music and more celebration of our revolutionary days.
Mm-hmm. This ball rolling that I feel like. We went to Hog Manet that day. I had never been to the Trent House after all these years. It was so crowded. People were out. We couldn't even get in. It was so much fun.
I couldn't get in. Somebody said that you should have told us. And I was like, oh, my God. I got cut in line.
it was just so, I didn't care that I had to wait in line because it was just so nice to see so many people there. And then at the battle, there was so many people there. We were standing out there. And then we went to Starbucks to warm up a little bit. The restaurants were open. It's like, yes, there's life here.
Well, we were gonna rename the battle of Starbucks.
So,
because we had revolutionary soldiers going in there to buy coffee.
We took them online.
I think that actually happened in the 1700s, the Battle of Starbucks.
Probably. So. You dig deep enough.
I'm sure.
That's good stuff.
Let me hand some questions over to you. So why don't you...
We've had history of fighting really bad plans presented to the city, and most notably a few years ago with Leawood Realty. They wanted to mow down like 500 houses and buildings. They wanted to put up tract housing. And back in June, you did an interview with NJTV News with Michael Aaron.
Yes.
Caught my ear. You mentioned it twice. You mentioned taking down abandoned buildings. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? What do you mean?
Well, the Christie administration was horrible to the capital city. They cut off the capital city line item. The only good thing that they did was they gave us $11 million to take care of urban blight, quote unquote.
Okay.
The good news is the last administration didn't spend a dime of it. So I actually renegotiated the agreement. We were endangered of having that $11 million clawed back by the state. And I said, well, there are houses that are worth saving. There are some that we definitely want to take back, but could we use some of that money to rehab and also get a way of a full jobs program where you can get some of our youth to become apprentices and learn carpentry skills? So we're actually doing a little bit of both. There are houses that you can't save.
They gotta come down. Okay.
On Colonial Avenue, if you went there, unfortunately there was a double fire, one last year and then one this year, that have really destroyed beautiful historic row houses, but unfortunately they're gonna have to come down. So we have the money for that at least.
Okay.
If you go on Chamber Street, McCray's laundromat, the old laundromat, the roof caved in, that kind of saved us on demolition because it caved in on its own. But those are main arteries into the capital city.
Sure.
And if you were an investor coming from Trenton and driving down Chamber Street, you'd be like, I'm making a U-turn as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to take down some of the bad areas that are our main arteries, but we also want to rehab things. There's no sense in just tearing down a house on a street and then leaving it as a lot.
Right.
Because then you have to deal with the overgrown lot. Right. So we want to do it smart, strategically, and if we take down a house, we want to make sure we build a house. That's why I came up with that program.
Okay.
1,000 houses in 1,000 days. It doesn't mean we're 90 days in and there should be 90 houses. We're laying the groundwork so that we want to have 1,000 new homes in the city. City is going to be a lot better off if we can bring more people in.
Absolutely.
In our heyday, we had 135,000. Today, we have 84,000. The other good thing is that millennials, first of all, they can't afford to move to New York or Philadelphia.
You're right. That's right.
And they're looking still for a walkable city.
Absolutely.
And they're looking for these medium-sized cities like Chattanooga or Provo, Utah. And there's no reason why they wouldn't want to move into Trenton, provided that we make it safe, that we make it livable, that we have the housing stock for the younger generation. We want to do all of the above and make sure that we can bring people in and help grow a middle class that will pay taxes but also make it a livable city.
Right. Absolutely. Now, Christina, you had talked about homesteading.
Yeah, is that still something that's where, you know, somebody would buy a dilapidated property?
Absolutely. There's plenty of those bargains. The problem was, and this is where that $11 million came in, we had a program before I came that you could get a house for a dollar.
Right. That's
but as soon as you walk in the door, you realize, oh, I have to spend $100,000 to fix it up, and then I may not be able to afford it.
Right.
But with the rehabbing that we have, we could help stabilize the roof, stabilize the porch, so you would be more likely to buy that from us, and we can start the job for you. And then you could just live in the house and then fix it up as you go along.
Okay, so they're city-owned properties.
We have a lot of city-owned properties that we're trying to get rid of. It does no good for us to keep them. We just had an auction. We auctioned 28 properties and made $700,000 for the city.
Great.
Wow.
One of the properties was actually a firehouse that somebody wants to turn into a house.
Nice. I thought you were going to say a brewery.
There's a property in the East Ward that is very usable as a brewery, and we're supposed to go take a look at that as well.
I wonder if Hatch is involved with that.
The Roebling Lofts program, they want to put a brewery in their phase two. So
that'd be cool.
And a distillery, because I think bourbon would be very well received here.
For the days you do the fire walk, if people are cold like me, at least you got the brewery there.
Or the distillery.
The distillery, sorry.
Well, that was actually my bill in the legislature to allow distilleries. It was modeled after the brewpub bill. You had to be a Budweiser or nothing. In the 90s, the legislature passed that brewpub law that created that third category where you could have small amounts of beer, and that's how breweries came about. And then I said, well, why don't we do that for large alcohol and do a distillery where somebody could have a mom-and-pop operation and then have Jersey Garden Fresh grown gin or vodka.
Yeah. And that was your bill?
That was my bill.
Dude,
in law, yeah.
You're on it, man.
Yeah.
I'm warm up.
Along with medicinal marijuana was my bill as well that she gave me also.
I don't dabble in that.
That's my claim to fame. Well, you know.
We said make it legal. Yeah. Make it legal.
Well, for medical purposes.
Yeah, for medical purposes.
Right, right, of course you got to say that. I don't mean any disrespect by this. But just like, because come on, let's face it. Bold to bold. We have an 83-year-old mayor of Warren Street, Joe Festa.
Yes.
Do you know Joe?
He's the guy who cuts my hair.
He does cut your hair. Okay.
And I survive each time. My earlobes have not been cut off.
Joe, that guy's out of control. 83 years old.
Yeah.
We want to have him on the show, too.
And he has a great time every day. Oh, and he is the go-to place for a lot of state workers. And he's still running strong.
People call him the mayor behind the mayor.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
The mayor of South Warren Street. And he's going to take part in the Chinese New Year. So.
Oh, yeah. What is he going to do?
Who knows?
I think he's going to give Asian haircuts.
Singing Sinatra on the sidewalk with his red hat.
He's such a positive. I think he's so positive and such
very
a great.
Energetic,
yeah,
and
a,
very positive.
I love him. Love him.
I know you know about Trent Neat Local. Mm-hmm. Are you planning on joining us at any time?
Yes, yes.
I'm sure you're welcome to come.
I love to go to the Chambersburg restaurants, and we need to market the Chambersburg restaurants. Mm-hmm. That's why community cleanups are so important, but also we need to market it better. We still have all those old signs that you can go to Amici's and Marsilio's and La Gondola. We have to update them to make sure that people can find the great local Latino restaurants.
Yes. One really good one is in the old space where Rossi's was.
Yes, yes.
Tikal,
yes.
They did a beautiful renovation in there, and the food is great.
Or Saburo Latino is good.
Saburo Latino is great.
Pure Vida, they've spent a lot of money renovating. El Mariachi is great Guatemalan food, and the list goes on and on.
You talk about marketing the city, and Anne Labatt has a great quote. She says, Trenton may not be for everyone, but it's always been good for revolutionaries. Right?
Yes. And I love that.
So revolutionaries, trendsetters, pioneers, game changers, frontliners, we kind of believe those are like the types that are going to bring forth change in Trenton. Would you agree with that? Or not?
Yeah, we had the first battle of Trenton, then we had the second battle of Trenton. We're engaging in the third battle of Trenton.
Right.
And we want to make sure that we do think outside the box. Mm-hmm. That's why we came up with the Firewalk, we came up with the Chinese New Year's, and make it a fun city, because at the end of the day, we don't have a lot of money in our budget. We can only go to taxpayers so often. If we can make Trenton fun and lively, it would fester redevelopment. So we're excited about Trenton's future. We're starting to market the Roebling Block 2. We cleaned up the Cook School, and we actually had a developer who wants to put in housing in there. It's going to be senior housing, so it's going to be good for me pretty soon.
Where's the job Cook School? I'm not sure.
Cook School's on Kyler, and it's a beautiful building that was built in the 1890s, but it's been abandoned for 30 years. When I first came in, I said, who owns this? And it's, we do. And how much is it worth? We don't know. So we got it appraised, and now we're starting to look for developers to take it over, and one is already excited about a project.
Do you think these projects would benefit from mixed use, where you have some retail, restaurants, as well as living spaces?
Absolutely. Any development downtown should be mixed use. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you put in a new parking garage, there should be commercial use around it. We would love for that parking garage at Front and North Broad to be torn down, but whatever goes there should be mixed use, both commercial, residential, and could be governmental as well.
There's property by us, and I don't know how this ever happened, but it is literally sitting on the Delaware River. It's the Riverview offices.
Okay, yes.
And it's all office buildings.
Yeah, that's
all
terrible.
All office buildings. And I'm like, these
and on prime real estate.
It's, if you go into the office, the view is spectacular.
Yes.
Like, somebody should be living here in a beautiful condominium, like...
Yeah.
With this view, and then have restaurants down below.
Yeah, have the restaurants on the first floor.
Oh my goodness.
Before I left the legislature, was to force the Department of Education out of there. They should be downtown.
Yes.
They could enhance the Capital District. Mm-hmm. And that should be in a mixed-use building. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be just government building, because then it becomes tax-exempt. Mm-hmm. And then we should redevelop the waterfront, because the Department of Education, the employees don't come downtown because it's too far. And at 5 o'clock, it becomes a ghost town. Yeah. So you have those two anchors. You have Roe and you have the Thunder Stadium, which should really be an entertainment district in between.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's our long range plans. We've already started talking with the Murphy administration.
Awesome. That's good to hear. Well, I have lots of ideas. Is there anywhere that a person like me can brainstorm with
Absolutely. We have a economic development division, but also just contact the mayor's office, email the mayor. Mm-hmm. And we want ideas from crazy to, you know, outside the box. We had a great Christmas display. I don't know if you got a chance to see the...
Oh, Dan. No, we didn't come down.
It was beautiful. Sorry. It was beautiful.
We tried to hit everything this year.
Here's what I found. The social media helped me so much because I was very much aware on a daily basis, like something's going on at the Ellerslie, something's going on at the Trent House, something's going on at the Assinpink. And then I was like, oh, don't forget, we've got that, because what would happen in the past, it would be like, oh, no, that happened. We forgot all about it. Right. Now it's like right in your, like, I get notifications.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so we did as much as we could,
yeah,
it was wonderful,
Okay, so you've spoke a lot about stuff that gets us excited. We've been talking about this stuff for years. What would your dream Trenton look like?
A real walkable, livable city, the waterfront redeveloped. There's no reason why the waterfront can't be another New Hope. Look at, you know, people love fireworks in the water. We could have both there. Where everything is occupied downtown, where those restaurants are booming, there's a proposal to put a rooftop restaurant in downtown. But just to make Trenton different. We're talking with an artist about putting a mural around the Waterworks building on Route 29, that ugly brown building. Mm-hmm. We want to make an aqua mural all around the building, so it will be the iconic image of Trenton. Mm-hmm. We're really excited about the high school. That it's a state-of-the-art school that's going to open at the end of this year. I think that it'll be a real morale booster for our young students to learn. The more we can sell the city and the more it can be developed, that will create jobs, that will give people hope. And there's just too many people that have given up on the city, and I don't think that they should.
So closing this out, someone listening to this podcast doesn't really know much about Trenton, but they live maybe New York, Philly, I would say even Connecticut, right?
Anywhere or in between. Yeah.
Anywhere in between. And they're looking for an urban experience. What's something that you could share with them in a 10-second elevator ride to encourage them to at least check Trenton out?
Well, come down and look at our history and look, go to the old barracks, go to the Douglas House, go to the Presbyterian Church, go to St. Michael's, where the Quaker Friends Place, where we have signers of the Declaration and Constitution are buried. And then after you're finished taking the walking tour, take in one of our restaurants that are fabulous menu. And then think about staying here permanently when you look at Roebling Lofts or the Watch Factory that just came in, the Ice Factory. Mm-hmm. We have some great housing stocks, great neighborhoods, and Trenton has a lot to offer.
So cool.
I'm excited. Are you excited? I'm excited.
I'm really pumped.
I said it before. I'll say it again. I'm glad I voted for you.
Great. I hope I won't let you down.
You're doing great so far. It's been 7 months, a couple of days over 7 months ago that you're in. And people can go to the Trenton website, correct?
Yes.
That is
TrentonNJ.org.
Cool. TrentonNJ.org. You got it, folks. Remember, TrentonWaves.com. Check out Mayor Reed. And this is the Gus bus. Hop on the Gus bus. Hop on the bus, Gus. No. What is it?
Hop on the Gus bus.
Hop on the Gus bus. No need to be coy, Roy.
All right. Gus bus.
Oh, my goodness. Great way to close this first episode out. Anyway, we are done. Episode one finished. And we have a bunch more episodes coming at you every Monday. Every Monday, subscribe. You will be alerted as to when the new episode comes out. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
Out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer and you don't use or even like your CPAP machine, then you're possibly putting your life at risk. My name's Dr. Kevin Mossman, and not only am I a board-certified sleep dentist, but I'm also a sleep apnea sufferer myself. At our office, I can help you with a custom-made mouth device that takes the place of your dreaded CPAP machine. I love mine because it's comfortable and super easy to use. It costs you nothing to learn more about this life-saving mouth device. So call me today for a free consultation at 732-655-6585. Again, 732-655-6585. Or visit us online at sleepdentistnj.com. Again, that's sleepdentistnj.com.